All right? John chapter 1 and verse 35. John chapter 1, we're going to read 10 verses and then see what the Lord has for us here today. I saw Brother Harris. Where's Brother Harris? There you are. Mrs. Harris, ready to go. You're ready. Great with child. That's a Bible term. So very good. When are you due?
Friday.
Very good. All right. So praise the Lord. You pray for the Harrises, and we're excited for them. John 1:35, again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples. So please understand that when we read in the book of John and we see the name John, that is not the author. All right. John does not speak of himself. But this is John the Baptist, all right? Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." I don't think he said it. I think he shouted it. Say, why do you think that? There's a little mark after God, and it's an exclamation point. The Bible says he saith, but gives us indication maybe he said it with a little fire, if you will. "Behold the Lamb of God," he says. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. God, we're thankful for your word, and God, we're thankful for this, the songs that we can sing, and Lord, how it stirs in our heart and how it reminds us of what you've done for us and who you are. And God, I pray that you would use this sermon this morning to touch all of our hearts. God, that you would meet with us, that you would put away any distractions or anything that's going on in our mind or our heart that would take away from your Holy Spirit speaking to us today. Lord, I pray you'd use your word in a mighty way. Lord, we do love you. And Lord, our desire is that our life, our words, our actions would just honor and glorify you. And Lord, I pray that this morning, again, there's no greater prayer I have than that your presence would be here. Lord, we need you. We need you so much. Lord, may this sermon not be any of my thoughts, but your thoughts. Lord, help us now. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. A familiar passage, I dare say a happy passage, right? No one's getting killed. No one's being tortured. No one's being made fun of, mocked. It's just, we like passages like this. You know, again, not to bring in Hollywood or anything, but there's something about getting the good guys together. And that's what we have. Jesus is assembling his team, if you will. And here we are. John the Baptist has been preaching for a number of years. Jesus has just been baptized. And now here he is. He's gathering as who we would call his disciples together. In John chapter 1, if we turn back a little bit, someone that was very instrumental in the work of Christ was a man by the name of John the Baptist. Now, I don't want to get out of order here, but he was called John the Baptist simply because He baptized people. Pretty profound statement there. And that's how he was known. He was a forerunner to Jesus Christ. He'd been talked about. His birth was prophesied. He was a relative even to Christ. And the Bible says this in verse 15 of John chapter 1. John bare witness of him and cried, saying that this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. John has been preaching Jesus for some time. Maybe not by name, but by title. The Messiah is coming. God has revealed to John that he is going to be the forerunner to the Messiah. So he could go out with confidence and say, within my lifetime, I'm going to see the Messiah. He's right around the corner. Well, one day Jesus shows up. And this preacher, who's been preaching this, look at verse 19. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? John has been testifying of Christ. Look at verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. John didn't have an easy job. I think of John kind of like Noah. Say, how so? Well, they've been waiting for the Messiah we could actually say close to 4,000 years. I mean, seriously, since the law, we read in the passage in John chapter 1 later on in the later verses that we started with, it says the one that who Moses and the prophets, Moses is, just a less than 2,000 years previous. So here, seriously, they've been looking for the Messiah for at least 2,000 years, but we could go all the way back to Adam and it was prophesied already back to then that the Messiah was coming. Now imagine it's kind of like Noah in that. See, why do you connect Noah and John the Baptist? Well, Noah was preaching a message of something's going to happen in the future. It's going to rain. They'd never seen rain before. That was a difficult message. John the Baptist gets up and he says, hey, the Messiah's coming. Yeah, John, I've heard this for the last 2,000 years. My grandparents have told me about it. The grandparents of their grandparents and their grandparents. All the way back, we've read it all of our life. We've been taught it all of our life. Yeah. But for John, it was true. He really was coming in that generation. And poor John, here he is, and he's trying to get people ready. Not poor John, he had the power of God on him, but he's trying to get people ready for the Messiah. You know, so often when we serve the Lord, we wonder what impact we're going to have. You know, we don't get to see the whole thing play out, but John got to see a little of it. John got to see a little of it. Say, what do you mean John got to see a little of it? Well, go back to verse 35. It says, again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the Bible says the two disciples heard him speak, and they didn't follow John. See, what was John's desire? That they would follow Christ. And here he's been preaching this message for so long, and sure enough, the Messiah comes by. He declares him in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And two men that are standing there heard that, and they started following the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that must have been an encouragement to John, don't you think? Look at John chapter 1 and verse 40. It says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed. And it's a blessing to know that you had some sort of impact. You don't always get to see it. But let's for a moment take a minute and just think about what it is that, or who it is that the Lord used in your life to help you come to Christ. If you thank God for the preachers in your life, or the helpers, or the teachers, that in your life, they didn't want you to follow them. They wanted you to just come to Christ. They just introduced you to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were faithful. They didn't get out because it was hard. John had a rough go. He wasn't really well liked. So how do you know? I see how it ends for John. John was beheaded because of the things he taught. Who was it in your life? Who was that faithful one that had a gospel tract right at the right time? Who was the one that taught the Sunday school lesson? Who was it the one that came into town and evangelist and preached a message that changed the course of your eternity? Not that they saved you, but they just simply introduced you to Christ. Everybody's got a John the Baptist in their life. What do you mean? Well, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has used somebody to reach you to get to Christ. Now, certainly he's, as I wrote in the bulletin this morning, did the bulletins work out? Where's Mr. Bauman? They worked out? They're out there. Okay. We had some printer issues. Man versus technology is one of the biggest conflicts that we will ever experience, right? I mean, usually it's man versus like nature, man versus man in reading, but man versus technology is a real thing. And often we lose. I just say we lose against that. So we had some printer issues this morning. I appreciate Mr. Bauman sticking with it and still keeping a smile fighting with technology. If you've ever done that, that's not fun. Say, why are you saying all that? I don't know. Oh, yeah. In the bulletin. There was someone that helped you come to Christ. That was John the Baptist for these guys. And often we treat our life kind of like these stairs of, okay, I'm way over here. Okay, I got to here, I got to Christ. Okay, now I leave that behind and now I'm going to the next step. And now I'm going to the next step. And now I'm going to the next step. And we forget where it is that who influenced us. And I think they need some recognition. Not that we have to put their name in lights or on the church sign. But in your heart, there ought to be an attitude of gratitude for some people that were just faithful to the ministry, faithful to the cause of Christ, that were willing on a Sunday morning to get up extra early and pray for your soul, to go out and stand at the street corner with a sign, to be that faithful witness at the workplace or at the schoolhouse. But someone was faithful to the cause of Christ that helped you. Maybe it was, can I say, maybe it was in your dark hour. You know, sometimes the Lord uses difficult circumstances to bring us to Christ, does he not? We've seen that. Certainly times of rejoicing maybe bring people to Christ. Some people have come to our church just looking, hey, we've got kids now. We want to get involved in Sunday school ministry, and God has blessed our family. We just want, and I appreciate that. But there was maybe a shoulder that you cried on that didn't just say, hey, listen, drink this or take this or, oh, hey, let's go do this. You'll forget about your problems. Leave him, leave her. No, what they did was, hey, you know what you need? You need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Aren't you glad someone in your life told you the truth with a little bit of grace? Were they perfect? No. But I'm thankful for the John the Baptists in my life. You know my story. When I was 10, walked into a non-denominational church. We were in a Rondacoit meeting. My mom had gone there a couple times. It was right around the corner from where we lived. The church, the main church, was meeting in Pudgy's Pizza. Hey, if you're going to meet in a pizza place, that's a good place. Their stromboli is excellent. And across the street, a ways away, I don't know what my mom was thinking. She dropped two kids off. She was a single mom. We were a block away from each other. But there I go into this little Sunday school classroom. Didn't know it at the time, but the guy that taught the class, pretty much the pastor's kids and all of his kids were everyone at the table. I didn't know that the guy had like five kids. I thought I was just another face in the crowd. And that day, John the Baptist told me about the Redeemer. That day, Dan Crespo told me how I could be saved. And I'm telling you, as a young boy, there was anxiety and fears in my life because I knew there was a God, I just didn't know how to get to Him. Say at 10, yeah, at 10. And I knew I was a sinner that needed to be saved. And someone one day, just faithful, said, let me tell you about Jesus. That's what John the Baptist did. Say, what influence it had? Worked pretty good for Andrew. Worked pretty good for Philip. Who pointed you to Christ? Who helped you come to Christ? Say, why are you hammering this point? Because we've moved past it so quickly that we forget the blessing of being faithful to Christ. It has an impact. You might not see it all, but John got a little glimpse of it. Point number one this morning in coming to Christ, the name of the message this morning is called Lost and Found. Because here, Andrew and Simon and Philip and Nathaniel were lost. And thankfully, a man comes up and says, let me make you my disciple. No, that's not what he says. He says, let me introduce you to Christ. The first point this morning, and we have the preacher. And all of us can be a preacher. I'm telling you, my mom was one of the best preachers I ever met. She could give you a sermon like that. No problem. Now, if she didn't have a pulpit of wood, but she was a faithful witness. This morning, let's just, in our mind, remember who it was that helped us come to Christ. Say, I don't know the person's name. It was just a gospel tract on a street corner. The guy showed up at work one day. He told me about Christ, and I never saw him again. It was a student. Even so, thank God for the John the Baptist that was placed in your life. We start with the preacher. Number two, who do they introduce him to? Well, John chapter 1 and verse 35 again. John 1, 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Who were these two disciples standing in front of? Well, they were standing in front of the Redeemer. The Lamb of God, as it says. Jesus Christ, listen now, our advocate. What does that mean? He goes on our behalf to the Lord. He was the anointed one. That means he had all the power of God at this very moment. He was divine. The Bible calls him the bread of life. He will be our deliverer. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the lion of the tribe of Judah. The Bible calls him our mediator. That means he goes in between us and God, the only one. The only begotten of the Father, the Prince of life, the Prince of peace, as we saw this past Wednesday, our rock, the Savior of the world. Malachi calls him the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. He is the vine. And he was what they were looking for. You see that, what it says in verse 41? He findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. Well, the Messiahs. Ever lose anything? Oh man, that's frustrating. As I told you, we're watching our neighbor's house. They entrusted us with a key. And then asked my children to watch the house. Gave them a key to their house, the key to their house. There's been multiple occurrences throughout the week that all activities have stopped because we are looking for not just a key, but the key. Flipping bed cushions and looking everywhere possible. Getting stern. Where did you? I don't know! There's animals in there that have to get out. They need food, water, and a grassy area. Ever lose anything? Oh, that's frustrating, isn't it? It was. Isn't that good? Thank you. I was going to say to be continued, find out tonight, come back, but that's fine. That's fine. It's all right. We have found the Messiah. At school, we used to have a lost and found. Never had anything I ever lost in there. I would lose stuff. I'd go looking lost and found. There were things like a shoe. There was a purse with nothing in it. And, you know, there was just never anything I was looking for. But here, they have found what they were looking for. The Redeemer. You know, when you find Christ, the Redeemer, your hope. Remember the list. Our Advocate, the Anointed One, the Bread of Life, our Deliverer. That changes you. You cannot meet Christ and just walk away going, that was a nice guy. Because what was standing before them was the Savior of the world. The very thing that innately all humans are looking for, they're standing face to face. Man, wouldn't that be neat? To look eye to eye to Christ, the Messiah. They found the Redeemer, to which they will forever be changed. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you could turn there. Lost and found this morning. Number one, the important role of the preacher. A faithful one that will help others come to Christ. In your life, someone was the preacher. Someone told you about Christ. Point number two, the Redeemer. The one that they had been talking about. The one that they were looking for. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Now, look at these next three verses. 3, 4, and 5. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, 4, and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. That means it's alive. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, listen now, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Who were they looking at? They were looking at the incorruptible one, the undefiled one, Jesus Christ. They were standing there. They were looking at, they met hope that day. Have you ever met the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Maybe others have been telling you about Him, trying to introduce you. But when you find Christ, when you find Jesus Christ, you'll know. He is all that anyone has ever looked for. He is your answer. And when they found Christ, it had such an impact on them. Look at verse 37 in John chapter 1. I'm sorry, John 1, 37. Look at what they do. I don't know about you, but I'm somewhat skeptical of the masses. Meaning, if I saw a large group of people walking down my street, I would be certainly inquisitive because we don't have sidewalks. But I would not go, hey, there's a large group of people. I'm just going to go follow them. My impression is they're probably up to no good. That's immediately where I go. This past week, we went to Naples, New York. And in Naples, New York, they have this little area where you can park if you can find a spot. Then you walk a little bit, and they have this creek that goes right through Naples, and you can walk on like a little stony river creekness. It was pretty. There's no directions, though. There's no like signs, make a right here, make a left there. But you're watching people come at you and go ahead. So you just kind of follow. They meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know what they immediately do? John 1:37 says this, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Jesus actually not alarmed by it, but he turns around and he's like, hey, what are you doing? They said, we want to see where you live. He's like, all right, I'll show you where I live. This is before any miracles that we have record of. He just taught something, but the way he taught so impacted them that they stopped what they were doing and just went and followed him. John 1:40 says, and one of the two which heard John speak and followed him, verse 43, the day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Hey, when you find the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what the absolute best thing you could do with your life? Follow him. There's nothing better that you could do with your life than follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest thing you can do is follow him. John chapter 8 and verse 12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There was something about the way he taught. Had they heard teaching before? Absolutely. Have they heard preaching before? Absolutely. But there was something about the way that Jesus Christ spoke to them that said, never a man had spake this way to me. So much so that grown men just followed him. Say, why is that? Because they were looking at what they had been looking for all their life. Looking at that, understanding that, it would be somewhat strange for a person to understand who Christ is and the impact that they made on their life and go, that's just not that important. How could you possibly say that? Jesus walks by, he teaches, and immediately they just follow him. How can we not follow him? If we can't follow Christ, who can we follow? What better option is there? Hey, this morning, there is no better option. So if I could encourage you, number one, be mindful of the one that helped you come to Christ. Appreciate that. Know that God was working in around you. Isn't it amazing how a complete stranger God used to influence you for Christ? That means God is much bigger than just you and me. Number two, when you meet Christ the Redeemer, allow him to change your life and follow him. There's nothing better you can do with your life. Thirdly, John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 41. The Bible says this. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. When Andrew finds... So let's follow the progression here. John the Baptist is teaching. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Oh, that's the Lamb of God? Hey, what do you have to say? And he listens to him and he says, I want to follow you, but real quick, hold on. I have to go get somebody. Andrew says, I have to go get my brother Simon. What does Philip do? The exact same thing. John 1:45 says this, and Philip findeth Nathanael. When you find the Messiah, you're not like, hey, I'm going to keep this for myself. When you realize who it is that Christ is and that he is the not just Savior of Jacob Hodges, but he's the Savior of the entire world, there's plenty of room at the foot of the cross. He doesn't turn anybody away. So what happens? Andrew immediately goes to get his brother. Philip immediately goes to get his friend Nathanael. Two great examples to us. When you come to Christ, what should you do? Run home and tell everybody. That's Andrew. What else should you do? Go tell your friends. Immediately. How have you got saved and you told your, maybe a coworker at work, I got saved this past week. I trusted Christ and said, oh yeah, I got saved years ago. You did? You never told me about it. Why didn't you? As a young child, maybe you go back home and tell your parents, I trusted Christ today in Sunday school. Oh yeah, we did that years ago. You did? Why didn't you ever tell me? Don't you think the right response having after found Christ is to tell everybody that you know? Is Christ not good for somebody? Jacob, you know what? Actually, this isn't a good idea for you. Is Christ not good for somebody? In our family, we have some people with some pretty strong allergies. So at family get-togethers, there's certain things that just do not show up. Peanut butter does not show up. And if it does, it's like in another room with big labels. Do not eat peanut butter. Why? Because it's not good for them. Their throat swells up and they'll choke and die. No one, I can't go to anybody and say, I'm sorry, Jesus is just not good for you. No, he's good for everybody. He's the remedy to the sin, the problem that everybody has. So what should we do when we find Christ? Go tell our family. Say, I'm not sure my family really wants to hear. I want you to go look at Luke chapter 16. I don't think my family's going to like it. Luke 16. Look at verse. The setting here is hell. Pretty sobering setting. Luke chapter 16. Look in verse 27. Actually, look at verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they come to us that would come from thence. He says, you're in hell and you're stuck there. I can't get you out and you can't come out. And look at what he immediately says. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You know what the man in hell, the first moments he was there? Send someone to my family. Warn them. So it should be when we meet Christ. We should do that now before it's too late. We should tell our family about Christ. Say, I don't know if they want... It's better than this scene. Andrew finds his brother, Simon. Philip finds his friend, Nathaniel. When you find Christ, the first thing you should want to do is help others find him. You know how much time Andrew and Philip have spent with Jesus Christ? They have no Bible degree. They have not walked around with him for 3 years. There was no experience or training on how to win souls to Christ. No, what they just had was sincerity. A true love for the soul of their friend or family member, what we would call compassion. Listen, remember the blind man that got healed? What happened? He's like, I have no idea. I just know he healed me. Well, explain to me the theological healing. I don't know. I was blind. Now I see. Explain to me this Messiah. You know what? It would probably be better if he explained it to you. I just know I found him. Here's our third person. Number one, we had the preacher. Number two, we had the redeemer. And number three, here's our role now. The helper. So what does that mean? You're going to want to put your Bible down. Tell him. Meet him. That's all we do. We simply introduce people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We care for their soul. I can't save anyone from one sin. I can't even take away the consequences of sin. As much as I would love to, I wish I could make sin go away and all. I can't. But I can introduce him to someone that can save him from all his sin. My job is simply just to help. Thank you, Jacob. Appreciate Jacob looking sharp this morning, brother. Those new shoes? Relatively. All right, thank you. Normally it's a yes or no question, but that's fine. I mean, we'll deal with it. So what is our job? To help people come to Christ. We're a helper. We introduce. Say, I'd like to do better with that. I'm so glad you have that heart. Can I give you a few quick things and then we'll be done? If you desire to be the helper, say, what can I do? Number one, create a soul-winning prayer list. Write down the names of those that you know need Christ and commit to pray for them every day. And ask the Lord to use you personally to reach them. Say, would he do that? You have not because he asked not. I do believe God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when his child says, Lord, I want to be part of that. I want to see that. I want you to use me in any way you see fit to help others come to you. He's not going to go, I can't work with that. So thankful. Ray, is he up in junior church, I think? Ray is doing drywall at our house. Say, why are you thankful? Because he knows drywall and I don't. You know what he's doing? He's taking my boys up there and he's showing them how to do it. Sam, real quick, just how's it going? It's not as easy as it looks. And Sam says this. He goes, Dad, I'm butchering these pieces. It's a mess. I don't know. And Mr. Ray is so gracious and all he says is, don't worry, I can mud that. I can smooth that out. I'm banging up corners. I'm doing this. And you know what? Sometimes we come to the Lord and say, I'm going to mess this thing up. I don't know, but I want to be used. And he says, don't worry, I'll smooth it out. Don't worry, I can fix that. I messed up the words again. I said it wrong, but I just want to help. Don't worry, I'll smooth it out. Create a soul-winning prayer list. Make yourself available. Number two, share your story. Hey, Simon, come here. want you to meet somebody that changed my life. Outside of the scriptures, your testimony is probably the most powerful thing you have. And those that maybe will never listen to a sermon will listen to your story. Number three, demonstrate the love of Christ. The gospel message begins with this thought, for God so loved the world that he gave. And his love breaks down barriers. Ask the Lord to help you show kindness to others. Because a little kindness is a huge opening of doors for the gospel's sake. Number four, bring someone with you to church specifically to hear the gospel. Just bring them to Jesus. Let him do what he does. And then pray for divine appointments. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you someone to talk to. Well, I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm not going to pray that. Because you know what's going to happen. There's going to be a knock at my door and someone's going to want to talk about. Hey, when we met Christ, when they met Christ, do you know what the first thing they did? They ran to go get somebody. If Christ truly has had the impact that we say he has, don't you think we should be running to get people to him? Just make the introduction. Let their relationship go. Pray for divine appointments. Let's all stand. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me should not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And somewhere in your life, there was a John the Baptist, someone that told you about the Lord Jesus Christ, introduced you to Christ. And when you met Christ, your life had forever been changed. And what was asked of you? Simply that you follow him. I'm telling you, the greatest life that you could live is the one lived for the Lord Jesus Christ, following Christ. Yielding your will to his. Allowing him to use you in whatever way he sees fit. And then thirdly, can you be the helper? Maybe there's someone in your life that you know that you're to just tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have not been. You've been afraid. You've been. And maybe this morning the Lord reminded you of that person. Maybe it was a loved one. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a coworker. And right now you want to come and pray for their soul. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you take that which was lost and find it. Lord, I'm thankful that you sought after us. And with the work of the Holy Spirit, you've given us the opportunity to call upon you. And I'm thankful for salvation. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to helping others come to Christ. Lord, help us with that. Lord, give us a courage, a boldness, a humility, compassionate eye. Lord, that we would truly, sincerely care for others around us. Lord, help us to be a bold witness before time is too late. Lord, whatever it is that maybe you dealt in someone's heart this morning, God, we would be faithful to talk to you. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?